Welcome back to Farmside. Good news and Farm Director Eric Johnson. It is a Monday, July 14th. It is a busy week. You know, every time you start to think about we're in the middle of summer and folks in the corn and soybean industry are busy, busy, busy. Well, then you add like Corn Congress and all the other things going on. So we get to check in, go to Washington, D.C. and bring in our friend Andrew Mauck. And Andrew, I thought you were retired, like you're past president now. What the heck are you doing?
job never quits. So I got to keep on going, got to keep on working for the American farmer, North Dakota farmer. So here I am in D.C. once again.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll get to the reasons why, but you're actually, you're past president. That just changed on July 1st, but you are still, what, the District 1 board member, board director for the North Dakota Corn Growers. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep, and I actually got 1 year left on that that term. Then I will be kind of termed off the board completely. So that's kind of how that process works.
And you've done your dues. 7 years on the board. Holy cats, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, well, it is, and it's been rewarding though. It's kind of been one of them things that you don't hardly think, you know, what you're getting into, and then you take one step forward, and all of a sudden you're three steps in and getting right into the nitty gritty, which is kind of what we want. So that's you know, it's kind of been encouraging to kind of tell everybody else my story and where I started and where I am now. Kind of how that process all worked.
Well, and there's been a lot of issues. Every year there's always issues in farming, but I think there's been a lot of issues over the last couple of years that you guys have been working through. And we've got some victories recently, especially in the ethanol side, so we're going to talk about that in a moment, and that might be twisted into the part. You're actually a member of the National Corn Growers Association Biofuels Action Team, so give me the definition of that first before we start getting into the details.
Well, so that kind of changed. It used to be just the ethanol action team is what it called. So now, last year, they kind of did a strategic plan and kind of renamed some of the teams and trying to, you know, get a little better up to date with the issues and this and that. So we got renamed the biofuels, which still encompasses the ethanol side of things, but then also the sustainable aviation fuel is a big deal for us. So kind of encompasses everything there. So yeah, we're just kind of getting started with meetings. Started this morning at 8 a.m. and kind of getting going through. We got 2 days of meetings, and then we'll have a day on the hill, or 2 days on the hill, really. So yeah, so that's kind of where we're at, and we've been talking a lot of E15, and you know, things that we almost thought we had around Christmas time with the reconciliation, then kind of got pulled out there. So we're still kind of fighting the good fight there. I did hear July 12th, I want to say, of 2012 is when the retailers first were able to sell E15 in the U.S., and we're still kind of fighting that good fight here today, that many years later. So,
and that's part of the reason I wanted to have you on today, because there was a lot of things agriculture passed in the big, beautiful bill, but I wasn't sure what made it through. So the year-round E15 sales, that has not gotten through yet, but still probable.
Yeah, there's still avenues of kind of how that can look like, and that's kind of our focus. We've been talking a lot on our team, you know, today and tomorrow we'll get into it a little bit more too. But you know, what should our focus be? And right now there is some traction with E15, you know, almost getting it through. So we just got to finish pushing that through, and then you know, then once we get that, then we'll continue to build on, you know, kind of that octane discussion and next gen fuels and some of that. But at this point, unfortunately, it's just kind of been baby steps and trying to educate and trying to get things going with E15. Probably the big push now is, you know, there's always been so much confusion, I think, with customers and things, you know, as far as, you know, it's unleaded 88, it's E15, you kind of got all these terms, and we need to, as an industry, kind of get together and get that straightened out and whatnot. So now kind of the big push is replacement E15, where a lot of these retailers can, in essence, take out the E10 out of the hose and put E15 directly in there. And so in essence, the option either is you know, premium, mid-grade, or E15, and you know, kind of eliminate some of that other confusion about what you're getting. And you're getting, you know, ethanol. If you want the ethanol, you have the option. If you don't, then you pay the higher prices and go that direction. So that's kind of a change in the last little bit here, 6 months or so, that kind of trying to get pushed through. I did hear also today that if we can get that I don't remember the exact number, but it's like six. The retailers will sell about six times more ethanol if they do that simple change. So that's kind of the push here lately with the E15 side of things.
Can they now? I was under the understanding that you needed a flex fuel vehicle though to do the E15. Is that not right?
Not with E15. So E15 is approved for anything, any vehicle manufactured in 2001 or after. And, you know, so that's that, you know, what is it, 98% of the vehicles on the market right now are that and can utilize that technology or that blend. And, you know, the flex fuel side of things, that's the higher blends, the E30, the E85s. Then you need the flex fuel designation on your vehicle to use that. But E15 works in any vehicle 2001 and newer.
See, and that's where I just got confused. E85 is what I'm talking about, or is E88? Is it E88? Is that what the one? With the flex
fuel? Unleaded 88 is E15, so that's the confusion. I mean, it's you and I are in the ag world, and we're confused. Still, so that's the part we got our jobs cut out because of this. So unleaded 88 is the same as E15, which is different than E85. So 85% ethanol versus 15% ethanol.
Gotcha. Okay, I'll work on my education as far as that goes. Okay, so another one, and I think there's a resolution to this, but you'll have to educate me because literally I've been on vacation for the last week, but 45Z, is this fixed now? Is this done? Do we know what we're doing there?
We're closer. So they just passed in the reconciliation bill, the 45Z was extended. So that was due to expire, I think, in 25 here. They moved that back to, you know, extending the credit to 2029, which is a win, but, you know, it's still, there is a limitation on that tax credit. So although we like it that it got extended, it, you know, it does still have a deadline. So I'll back up. 45Z is a tax credit for people to be able to get in the sustainable aviation fuel market, facilities and things like that.
Right.
So part of that is, you know, I think personally, you know, sustainable aviation fuel is going to be the next big thing in the ag world, in the corn world, in the farming world going forward, just because there's going to be so much demand for that product going forward with everybody's sustainable goals and everything kind of across the world. So there's been some wins with that and some losses. The credit was, it was at $1.75 credit, and now they moved it down to $1. So that's a, you know, kind of a loss, I'll say. You know, it's not quite as much of a credit. But the big thing is, as farmers, you know, we're here, you know, advocating on the American farmers, and, you know, how is that going to help me as a farmer? And the big thing that they had been talking about is that they were going to allow foreign feedstock, so, you know, use cooking oil and Brazilian products coming in to be able to also get qualified for that credit, where you know, why are we not using American corn, American products, American things to get into this feedstock? So they did eliminate the ability to use foreign feedstock. So now it's just U.S. feedstock that is qualified. So that's where it helps farmers going forward. We still have our work cut out to do with that because, you know, what does that look like? You know, there's a lot of models. There's a lot of different things going on with it. You know, how do we get credit for what we're doing on our farm to be sustainable? And you know, so there's a lot of moving pieces, and that's ultimately the reason we're out in D.C. is, you know, how do we work with lawmakers and get this right to be able to use it and qualify for something that we can use back on the farm.
And then we got a shocker from the EPA. They raised the RFS limits more than we were thinking, and that's good, right, for ethanol?
Yep. Yep, yep. No, that's the part of it, too. So, yep, they, you know, and the other part of that, too, is small refinery exemptions and some of them things, you know, that's all kind of part of the ethanol picture. So there's a lot of moving parts. You know, we got to get those numbers right, too, so we get the right people and the right credits in the right spot that, you know, people aren't using them that maybe shouldn't be or whatever. So that the numbers, you know, that's all kind of part of the EPA part process. And so we've been having discussions along with those guys as well.
This is like been the best 6 months for ethanol and like corn and soybean producers, though, for some of the things that have finally moved forward, right? I mean, we've got a few more things to get across the finish line, but we're actually getting some victories. We're moving in the right direction.
And that's true, because we need everything we can with the prices. You know, I just heard an economist talk this morning that, you know, prices are low, and the crop inputs are probably going to be a record high input coming out of USDA this year is what they're projecting. So, you bundle them together, it's kind of a doom and gloom outlook. So we need some of these wins to be able to come through. And, you know, the other part of this is there's a lot of corn out there. So how do we, a lot of acres, a lot of bushels that potentially out there, you know, how do we use this up and get the stocks to use ratio right? And so we're kind of talking a lot of different things this week.
All right, well, Andrew, thank you so much for hopping on today. I know you're super busy out in Washington D.C. and Corn Congress. I know the soybean folks have also got their meetings out there this week, and I hope a lot gets accomplished during this time. Last question, because I know those guys in Oaks like to keep tabs on you. How's the corn looking in about 30 seconds? How's your corn doing?
You know, overall we're pretty good, but I haven't seen any tassels yet, so I think they got us beat, and we were in early, but we had that cold snap that kind of took us back a little bit. So not quite there, but I'll concede to them guys this year.
For now, it's not over. The race isn't over yet.
That's right.
Andrew, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Thank you for the work that you do, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Andrew Mauch, past president again of the North Dakota Corn Growers, but still a board member, and served for, again, 7 years. Got one more year left. I'm glad he's there out in Washington, D.C. with a lot of the other corn and soy folks, which we'll be checking in with this week. Speaking of corn, we've got our North Dakota corn segment coming up next on Farm Talk.